Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 25 of the Tuesday Night Comics podcast. It's our 25th anniversary spectacular, 25 Woo! Weeks strong. Yeah. And Dave's back on the podcast.
I'm back, guys. I'm a bit tired from moving, but you know, I'm doing good.
I think everybody, including me, missed you last week.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks.
I don't know if you listened to last week's episode, but it was just me on my own.
I did. Were you in your car?
I was in my car.
I was like, that doesn't sound like Billy's apartment. And then I think I heard, like, you know, a truck or a bus go by or something.
It was terrible because it was like 90 degrees out. But to keep the outside noise out of the podcast, I had to keep all the windows up. So I basically blasted the air conditioning before starting the podcast and then roasted for the subsequent 40 minutes because I thought I'd do, you know, a short episode if it was just me, but nope, it just went on as long as it would.
Yeah, it's funny. Air conditioning doesn't really hold up once you turn it off. It's like, oh yeah, it didn't really make anything cooler. It's just blasting you in the face the whole time.
Yeah, it's true. Like, for a good 2 minutes, I was nice and cool, and then by the end of the podcast, I was a sweaty mess.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, we're looking at new comics coming out the week of June 25th. Right off the bat, anything catch your eye?
Not really. I mean, I liked that the Jock issue of Adventures of Superman is coming out in print.
Right.
That was really good. It's Superman and the Joker. It's their out of continuity line that they do digital first, and it's a lot of fun. They have one for Batman, which is Legends of the Dark Knight, and they'll be starting Sensational Comics soon, which will be for Wonder Woman.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
All of the books I'm really excited for this week are coming out from Image, and there's a few of them. We've got Robert Kirkman's newest comic, which is Outcast. He's writing it, and Paul Azaceta is doing the art. It sounds like the description sounds a little similar to Chew, in that. I take that back. It's about a guy who's been dealing with demonic possession. So it's another horror series from Kirkman, and it's an ongoing series, and I believe he's going to be writing the entire series. He's not handing it off to somebody after a few issues.
Okay.
No. So that was definitely something to check out. Plus, we've got the second issue of Cal number 2 by Kyle Higgins and Rod Rice.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to get caught up on that. I missed when it came out a month ago, but yeah, I definitely want to read that because you gave it such a great review.
Yeah, the first issue was great, and at Special Edition NYC, I got my copy of number 1 signed by both Higgins and Rice, and it was Rod Rice's first time signing a copy of it, so he wrote first on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and also the second issue of Trees is coming out. It's that new Warren Ellis comic. You can read the first issue for free right now in Comixology.
Oh, was it being put out by?
Image.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's been doing that. What's that? That smaller press that he's always doing, like.
Avatar.
Yes, that's right. And I stopped reading Warren Ellis when he went to Avatar, because I think all the artwork is shitty. I mean, I like Warren Ellis. I was the biggest Transmet fan. I read, like, Planetary Authority, all of his Wildstorm stuff, you know, Reload, Mech, Red, like, all of it. I loved that stuff. I was a big, big Warren Ellis fan back in the day.
Right.
But as soon as he went over to Avatar and, like, the art just, I couldn't get past it, you know? And I mean, it might be a stylistic thing or whatever, but I just, you know...
I agree with you 100%. I'm not a fan of the art on pretty much any Avatar book I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I even picked it up once because this guy was in the comic store, and he was like, hey, are you looking for something good to read? And I was like, sure. And he was like, might I recommend this? And it was like Warren Ellis Street Team or something. I don't know, but it was like a total sales pitch for the first issue of, like, Gravel or something like that, one of those books.
And okay.
I tried to read the whole thing 3 times. I never got through it.
That's amazing.
And it was the art. So.
Yeah. No, I could definitely see that. The art looks very like high school, art doodling. Like it looks like the art that your friend in high school who was good at art was doing.
Yeah. I mean, and I've seen people do that like stylistically, and it looks better,
Right.
like they know that that's what they're doing, but they could, draw something, realistic, but that's how they're choosing to draw, which seems like more of an educated, way to come at it. But I don't know, for some reason, I don't, again, like the guy could be an amazing artist, but it's just, my aversion to the style. But I don't even feel like it's that. But I feel bad like crapping on, the artists, but I could never get into it.
Yeah, and jumping back to DC for a minute, we've got the newest issue of Justice League coming out. Joe Prado not inking this issue. It's Ivan Reis and Danny Mickey. Danny Mickey also an awesome inker in his own right, though.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be exciting. That's the Lex Luthor run Justice League.
Yeah, though the cover credits Doug Monke and Keith Champagne on art, so not sure who's doing the art. I do know when I talked to Joe at Special Edition NYC, he said that he and Ivan and Doug Monke were going to be trading off story arcs, I believe. So
Oh,
you're going to
cool.
get like Ivan and Joe doing one story arc, and then Doug Monke is going to come in and do another story arc, which to me is awesome because those are when Geoff Johns was on Green Lantern, those are the two strongest art teams.
Yeah, that's a nice tag team.
Yeah, oh, tremendous.
Speaking of Geoff Johns, his start of Superman is coming out this week. I almost with JRJR.
Oh yeah, and this is John Romita Jr.'s first DC Comics work that isn't like an intercompany crossover.
Right. I'm excited for it. I love Geoff Johns' run on Superman, and he started it with Jeff Donner. Is it no?
Right.
Richard Donner, excuse me,
Right.
who is famous for doing the first two Superman movies and Goonies and Lethal Weapon. Then he also brought in Sterling Gates, James Robinson, and Greg Rucka to write all of the Superman books. And it was a great time during for Superman books because, the Legion was in it, like Gary Frank was doing art, It was.
Yeah, the Gary Frank drawing Superman was terrific because it looked like Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, there was something I really liked it, but there was something a little too like the nose always bothered me because it looked too much like Christopher Reeve. I wish there was just a little bit less and a little like it looked like it was trying for
Right.
Christopher Reeve, and
Oh, definitely.
I wish there was like I mean, don't get me wrong. I think all the books are gorgeous and like I loved it, but like I wish he just took a step back a little bit and made it his own a little bit, not just Christopher Reeve, but I mean, outside of that, I think the cast was that he drew was gorgeous, and like I think his Lois Lane is awesome, and I even remember him. Talking in an interview about how he drew Lois Lane, and he said that like he just drew what he thought Lois Lane would look like, and a lot of Margot Kidder comes out in it. And I wish that's just what he did for Superman because I think his Lois Lane's perfect, and so is his Cat Grant and Jimmy. But
Yeah.
JRJR, I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah, that should be really, really exciting and really interesting to see like what he brings to Superman.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Jeff plays with the new 52 Superman. Because the last time we really saw him dig into Superman was back when he was in the older continuity, the pre-Flashpoint continuity.
Right.
And he made that work really well. And right now we have, I mean, I haven't been following Superman too closely, but I think he's like a blogger, and he might be not be working for the Daily Planet, and you know, I read Grant Morrison's run, but that was about it.
Yeah. Well, Geoff Johns did give us the Superman Wonder Woman romantic pairing, so yeah, it should be interesting to see him just take just on Superman as a character again.
Yeah, that should be.
Without, you know, the rest of the Justice League around him.
That should be fun, yeah.
Yeah. Now, jumping over to Marvel for a minute, we've got a bunch of good books coming out, including Ms. Marvel number 5, which we both love.
Yeah.
And have you been reading Original Sin? Are you caught up on that?
I am. I meant to tell you that. I am caught up to this week.
Oh, sweet.
This past week, rather.
Well, number 5 is not coming out this week, but I guess we'll talk about Original Sin a little bit. Now, Fantastic Four, which you've been loving, is coming out this week.
Right.
And that, I believe, is an Original Sin tie-in.
Ooh, sweet. I'm all caught up for that.
Yeah. And Amazing Spider-Man, which I've been loving, is coming out this week. Black Cat is in this issue. And basically, when Doc Ock was in charge of Spider-Man's body, he encountered Black Cat robbing an apartment, and she tried, you know, to flirt with him. And he just punched her straight in the face and then webbed her up for the cops. And she now wants revenge. Because that's not the Spider-Man she's used to dealing with. But, and she's pissed.
Wow. Oh, did you read Silver Surfer this time?
I did. And I love that Dan Slott named a character who has gone 40 years without a name.
Yeah, that was great.
My heart.
This was, I think, the best issue yet.
I agree. And also the most Doctor Who like.
Oh yeah, like you know, you could pretty much take some of Silver Surfer's lines and just throw them into a Doctor Who episode.
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. He came across very 11th Doctor to me.
Yeah, yes,
like
very much.
Very Matt Smith.
Yeah, very, very. There was like a whimsical part of the writing, you know, like, and I think you get that in the 11th Doctor. I mean, even in the 10th Doctor, where you know, like, he's taking himself seriously.
Right.
You know, what is being said and done is out there a little bit, but it's done in a playful way that's just, you know, a lot of fun.
And I really like how proactive Dawn is. You know, I think she's even more proactive than any of the companions in the, you know, from Rose onward, and that she led that prison breakout before Silver Surfer even showed up, and then told him, like, no, we need to save these people.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's not just a Doctor Who comic in a Silver Surfer skin. Like,
right.
I think, you know, as it's always mentioned, like, every time someone reads this, that it's very much like Doctor Who, and it brings a cool twist to the Silver Surfer character and something that makes him a little more relatable, you know? But I think it does a disservice to it just to, you know, like, I don't want to give people the impression that it's like a, you know, a Doctor Who pastiche or something like that, you know?
But I will say this, the last time I enjoyed Silver Surfer this much is when the Infinity Gauntlet first came out.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty awesome because the Silver Surfer is like one of the coolest looking Marvel characters. Like, I remember everyone, like, as a kid, everyone was like, oh, did you get the Silver Surfer toy? And then, like, when we were like 7 or 8, everyone was like, what does the Silver Surfer do?
Yeah.
Like, not many people knew what the Silver Surfer did. And there wasn't, like, a lot of Silver Surfer. Like, it just felt like he looked awesome, but that was where it ended.
Yeah, I remember my first encounter with the Silver Surfer was in a Marvel sticker sheet that I got when I was a kid, and I was convinced he was Iceman. Because you know, there was no Silver Surfer comic at that point in the 80s. And then Jim Starlin's Silver Surfer comic came out that Ron Lim eventually did the art for, which, you know, led into the Infinity Gauntlet, and that was like the best time to be a Silver Surfer fan. And it's funny because one of my cousins, her kid, I believe, saw Silver Surfer maybe on the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon or the Avengers or My Heroes cartoon, and got a Silver Surfer action figure and asked his mom. He's like, are there any Silver Surfer comics? So, you know, she came up to me and was like, are there? And I was like, actually, there is, coming out soon, and it should be great. And it is.
Speaking of characters you think are one and the other, I always thought Psylocke and Electro were related.
Oh yeah, I could totally see that.
Because they had like pretty much the same outfit, like.
Yeah, Psylocke's costume is definitely modeled after Electro's. Yeah. So yeah, that pretty much covers all the new comics coming out this week. Oh, one cool thing was when I was talking to Joe Prado at Special Edition NYC, I'd said that like if he and Ivan did the art on every DC book, I'd be happy. And that I thought he was DC's best inker, and it's amazing how humble he is because he was like, no, he's like, I work at a company with Danny Mickey and Scott Williams. I'm not DC's best inker. And I was like, those guys are great, but I still put my money on him.
Yeah, no, he's quite the talent.
Yeah, I also told him if he ever wanted an ego boost, he should listen to our podcast anytime that an issue that he's working on comes out. So Joe, if you're listening, I hope you enjoy all the praise. It's well deserved. So let's talk Original Sin. I wanted to talk about it 2 weeks ago, but you haven't caught up to it yet.
I guess spoiler alert, guys. I think we're gonna talk freely.
Yeah. We're gonna if you're not caught up on Original Sin, pause this episode and come back once you are.
It's been great. It was a great murder mystery. The twists were good, even though like, I kind of have been, like when the Winter Soldier shoots or cuts off Nick Fury's head. I'm like, okay, something's up. Like, I know it's not real. Like, he's not the real bad guy.
Right. I figured it was either an LMD or it was like a Jacob Fury LMD, but I did
I
not
was.
expect 70, like 90-year-old Nick Fury to come out.
That was awesome though. That was
Yeah.
that the last page of this issue was great. I loved it,
So that
and
basically it basically means every Nick Fury we've seen over the past like 40 years has been an LMD.
Right, and it just makes you go back like all the like the Secret Warrior series, like any Nick Fury book that you've read, it's kind of it did the same exact thing that the Skrull reveal did in
Yeah.
Secret Invasion.
Yeah, totally. It's fun.
That was Secret Invasion, right?
Yeah, Secret Invasion. And it's funny because I read somewhere recently where somebody was comparing, saying that Marvel's doing like, they're aping a lot of stuff from DC, and I think we've talked about this too, but they're like aping the good DC stuff. But then when I saw like the LMD, I was like, oh, we don't know who this is. Like, who are we really dealing with? I was like, oh, crap. I'm like, now Marvel is aping Millennium. And I was like, that was terrible.
When I saw the Winter Soldier use Nick Fury's head as a weapon, it totally reminded me of the flying head of Panther in Infinite Crisis.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. I have to say, though, I'm loving Mike Diodato's art in this. I think it's just fantastic.
Oh, it is great. It's very moody and very cool. It's funny. It's cool that they're bringing Nick Fury in like this, but they're really like setting the table to say goodbye to him, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like we're gonna be getting, Nick Fury Jr., Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury in
Who
Marvel
will
Universe.
no longer be called Nick Fury Jr.?
Right, exactly.
He'll just be Nick Fury.
Which stinks because I really love classic Nick Fury in the comics. And I love Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury in the movies. And I wish the two could just like coexist.
It would be cool. Have you been reading the backups in the comics, the digital
No, I
backups?
haven't.
Oh, so they're following Nick Fury Jr. With Agent Coulson.
I read one of them. I guess I must have missed. I think I read the one in number two, and that was the only one I read.
Oh, okay. They're pretty decent, but it's funny. He doesn't act like Nick Fury in the movies.
Right.
And to me, it's like if you're gonna make him look like the whole idea is that they want him to be seamlessly look like Nick Fury in the movies.
Right, but he doesn't seamlessly act like him.
Right.
Like, he doesn't have that badassness that Samuel Jackson brings to the character.
Right. So, like, there's something that needs to happen between now and sometime where, you know, you come to here and he's like, you know, snakes on a motherfucking plane, you know, like.
Definitely. Black Snake Moon.
So that's my thoughts. I thought it was that was really good. Those are actually the only two books I read this week.
Oh, really?
Silver Surfer and
I just happened to read both of those today before we recorded. I caught up on She-Hulk, which is still written awesomely. There was a fill-in artist this past issue, number 5, and I was like, I really hope number 5 is not the first issue that Dave reads, because it was the weakest issue of the series. But overall, the series has been great. I'm not a fan of the artist who drew this one. And then what I've been reading is, well, I got the Miracle Man trade, and then in that special edition at NYC, I also got the first Brian Wood Star Wars trade, and I'm just going back and forth between the two of those. They're both really good. That Brian Wood Star Wars series.
Oh, awesome!
I really hope Marvel lets him like keep writing Star Wars, because it's just great.
Yeah, in that Miracle Man or Marvel Man, whatever they're calling it, are they including the digital code in that?
I don't think so. I got to double check, but I'm pretty sure that there was no digital code included.
Son of a B.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I was like, I don't really want to add another book to the shelf, because we're running out of bookshelf space here. So I was like, I don't know. So,
but it like, is,
if it they is. Have a digital edition sticker, I would get it and then, you know, put the book
like
on eBay
book.
Or something. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I have to double check that. I'm pretty sure there wasn't, but I'm not 100% positive on that, because they have been doing that with their graphic novels and trades recently.
Yeah.
Especially the hardcovers, and this is a hardcover.
And, the only other thing I've been doing, I've been rereading and Jeff Lemire's Green Arrow. And I stopped reading it for a while I was reading the Justice League stuff, and then I wanted to catch up on it. And so I was like, I'm going to start from the beginning of his run, because there's not a lot. And I'm you know, almost caught up. I'm into the Outsider War. But, man, is that one great book.
I really need to read that, because I bought all the issues that were part of that sale and then never read any of them.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's totally different than Hawkeye. Like,
right.
Not at all anything like that, but, you know, he's really doing a great job making the whole cast a lot of fun, and he's bringing in, you know, old Mike Grell characters like Shadow and Butcher. And,
yeah, I remember Shadow. I don't remember Butcher, though.
And then even older than that, I think Richard Dragon, I don't know if Mike Grell created him or not, but he was like the kung fu guy that, you know, I think he was first appeared with Bronze Tiger, and I believe maybe Denny O'Neill created him.
I didn't realize he was that old a character. I remember when he came back in that Scott McDaniel drawn series a few years ago, and I thought he was just created for that. I didn't even realize he was that old a character.
No, I think he was like 70s.
Oh, wow. Okay. That makes sense. He seems like a character who would have come out of the 70s.
Yeah, but New 52, Richard Dragon looks exactly like Common, the rapper.
Oh, interesting.
So there's a lot of photo referencing going on.
I wonder if they're trying to cast Common for the TV show. Because that's how Samuel Jackson got the Nick Fury job. Basically, Mark Millar and Brian Hitch like wanted him to play, you know, like wanted him to be Nick Fury if they ever made an Avengers movie.
That's true, and Common's been doing some acting. He's been on that Hell on Wheels on AMC.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of movies too.
He's really good on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta catch up on Green Arrow. It looks pretty awesome.
So
yeah, that's about it. You're all moved into your new place. It looks great.
Thanks. Yeah, it's it's coming along. Once we finish recording, I'll give you a tour.
Okay, sounds awesome. All right. Well, that seems like a good spot to end the podcast then, because there wasn't any crazy news coming out this week. Oh, except that Geoff Johns might be writing Justice Society.
Oh yeah, that set my Twitter aflame.
Do you think we'll actually see the return of the real Justice Society, or is he going to be writing the Earth 2 characters?
Well, you know what's very interesting is that like all the weekly books are stopping next March or May or something, which
Right.
coincides with the 30th anniversary of Crisis on Infinite Earths, and we also see that like Earth 2 is being destroyed, and that's kind of what I'm assuming. What we'll see how it lines up with Future's End and Earth 2 World's End and all that kind of stuff. And right now, Earth 2 doesn't look too good. And Geoff Johns says he misses writing the Justice Society and it needs legacy to work. And there's a lot of theories being thrown about that, with multiversity happening and with the tease of the anti-monitor. And was that Justice League or Forever
Forever
Evil?
Evil number 7. Yeah, it was like the last page of
Yes.
Forever Evil number 7.
That there is a rumor that's going around that sounds wild and off base, but it would be interesting, nevertheless, that in May we are going to see the return of the pre-Flashpoint universe.
Ah, which
And
has been the rumor since the New 52 started.
right. So, but there's a rumor that we are going to get series from both pre-Flashpoint and New 52 running at the same time
That would be
on different
crazy.
ends. So, I doubt that's going to happen, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. It could be. You never know. You never know. DC might be doing something wild and crazy.
Hey,
That's cool.
with the exception of Wonder Woman, I think everybody's costume pre-New 52 is better. So,
Yeah,
I'm all for like the visual aspect of the old universe returning.
yeah, there's only a few characters who I think came out on the plus side for their looks in the new 52. And yeah, I mean, Element Girl, she looks better.
Oh yeah, definitely.
There's a couple that are like, oh, they look a little better, but that's about it. I mean, I think it's just, and it's based around who's drawing it too. Like,
That's a good point.
I like Francis Manapul's Flash, but I think a lot of people make his outfit look too busy now.
Yeah, I agree. I
New
think
outfit.
Francis Manapul draws that outfit really
Yeah,
cool, and
that's about
Jim Lee
it.
draws it really cool, and that's about it. Yeah. All right. Well, good chatting with you. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, that's
And
fine.
then we're going to talk next week
Thanks,
about some more
thanks.
books. All right. Have a good night.
Sounds good. Later.